are the words of the quester. David's son and king in Jerusalem. Smoke, nothing but smoke. That's what the quester says. There's nothing to anything. It's all smoke. What's there to show for a lifetime of work? A lifetime of working your fingers to the bone. One generation goes its way and the next one arrives, but nothing changes. It's business as usual for old planet Earth. The sun comes up and the sun goes down, then does it again and again, the same old round. The wind blows south, the wind blows north, around and around and around it blows, blowing this way, then that, the whirling, erratic wind. All the rivers flow into the sea, but the sea never fills up. The rivers keep flowing to the same old place and then start all over and do it again. Everything's boring, utterly boring. No one can find any meaning in it. Boring to the eye, boring to the ear. What was will be again. What happened will happen again. There's nothing new on this earth. Year after year, it's the same old thing. Does someone call it, hey, this is new? Don't get excited. It's the same old story. Nobody remembers what happened yesterday and the things that will happen tomorrow. Nobody will remember them either. Don't count on being remembered. Call me the quester. I've been the king over Jerusalem, or over Israel in Jerusalem. I looked most carefully into everything, searched out all that is done on this earth, and let me tell you, there is not much to write home about. God hasn't made it easy for us. I've seen it all, and it's nothing but smoke. Smoke and spitting into the wind. Life's a corkscrew that can't be straightened, a minus that won't add up. I said to myself, I know more. I am wiser than anyone before me in Jerusalem. I have stockpiled wisdom and knowledge. What I finally concluded is that so-called wisdom and knowledge are mindless and witless, nothing but spitting into the wind. Much learning earns you much trouble. The more you know, the more you hurt. I said to myself, let's go for it. Experiment with pleasure. Have a good time. But there was nothing to it. Nothing but smoke. What do I think of the fun-filled life? Insane! Insane! My verdict on the pursuit of happiness. Who needs it? With the help of a bottle of wine and all the wisdom I can muster, I tried my level best to penetrate the absurdity of life. I wanted to get a handle on anything useful we mortals might do during the years we spent on this earth. Oh, I did great things, built houses, planted vineyards, designed gardens and parks, and planted a variety of fruit trees in them, made pools of water to irrigate the groves of trees. I bought slaves, male and female. We had children, giving me even more slaves. Then I acquired large herds and flocks, larger than any before me in Jerusalem. I piled up silver and gold, loot from kings and kingdoms. I gathered a chorus of singers to entertain me with song, and most exquisite of all pleasures, voluptuous maidens for my bed. Oh, how I prospered. I left all my predecessors in Jerusalem far behind, left them behind in the dust. What's more, I kept a clear head through it all. Everything I wanted, I took. I never said no to myself. I gave in to every impulse, held nothing back. I sucked the marrow of pleasure out of every task, my reward to myself for a hard day's work. Then I took a good look at everything I'd done, looked at all the sweat and hard work. But when I looked, I saw nothing but smoke. Smoke and spitting into the wind. There was nothing to any of it, nothing. And then I took a hard look at what's smart and what's stupid, what's left to do after you've been king. That's a hard act to follow. You just do what you can, and that's it. But I did see that it's better to be smart than stupid, just as light is better than darkness. Even so, though the smart ones see where they are going and the stupid ones grope in the dark, they're all the same in the end. One fate for all. And that's it. When I realized that my fate's the same as the fool's, I had to ask myself, so why bother being wise? It's all smoke. Nothing but smoke. The smart and the stupid both disappear out of sight in a day or two. They're both forgotten. Yes, both the smart and the stupid die, and that's it. I hate life. As far as I could see, what happens on earth is a bad business. It's smoke and spitting into the wind. And I hated everything I accomplished and accumulated on this earth. I can't take it with me. No, I have to leave it to whoever comes after me, whether they're worthy or worthless, and who's to tell, they'll take over the earthly results of my intense thinking and hard work. Smoke. That's when I called it quits, gave up on anything that could be hoped for on this earth. What's the point of working your fingers to the bone if you hand over what you've worked for to someone who never lifted a finger for it? Smoke. That's what it is. A bad business from start to finish. So what you get from a life of hard labor, pain, and grief from dawn to dusk, never a decent night's rest, nothing but smoke. The best you can do with your life is have a good time and get by the best you can. The way I see it, that's divine fate. Whether we feast or fast, it's up to God. God may give wisdom and knowledge and joy to his favorites, but sinners are assigned a life of hard labor, and in the end, turning up their wages over to God, God's favorites, nothing but smoke and spitting into the wind. There's an opportune time to do things, a right time for everything on earth, a right time for birth and another for death, a right time to plant and another to reap, a right time to kill and another to heal, a right time to destroy and another to construct, a right time to cry and another to laugh, a right time to lament and another to cheer, a right time to make love and another to abstain, a right time to embrace and another to part. A right time to search and another to count your losses. A right time to hold on and another to let go. A right time to rip out and another to mend. A right time to shut up and another to speak up. A right time to love and another to hate. A right time to wage war and another to make peace. But in the end, does it really make a difference what anyone does? I've had a good look at what God has given us to do. Busy work, mostly. True, God made everything beautiful in itself and in its time, but he's left us in the dark, so we can never know what God is up to, whether he's coming or going. I've decided that there's nothing better to do than to go ahead and have a good time and get the most we can out of life. That's it. Eat, drink, and make the most of your job. It's God's gift. I've also concluded that whatever God does, that's the way it's going to be always. No addition, no subtraction. God's done it, and that's it. That's so we'll quit asking questions and simply worship in holy fear. Whatever was, is, whatever will be, is. That's how it always is with God. I took another good look at what's going on. The very place of judgment, corrupt. The place of righteousness, corrupt. I said to myself, God will judge righteous and wicked. There's a right time for everything and every deed, and there's no getting around it. I said to myself regarding the human race, God's testing the lot of us, showing us up as nothing but animals, humans and animals. Come to the same end. Humans die, animals die. We all breathe the same air. So there's really no advantage in being human. None. Everything's smoke. We all end up in the same place. We all came from dust, and we will end up as dust. Nobody knows for sure that the human spirit rises to heaven or that the animal spirit sinks to the earth, so I made up my mind that there's nothing better for us, men and women, than to have a good time and do whatever we do. That's our lot. Who knows if there's anything else to life? Next, I turn my attention to all the outrageous violence that takes place on this earth. The tears of the victims, no one to comfort them, the iron grip of oppressors, no one to rescue the victims from them. So I congratulated the dead who are already dead instead of the living who are still alive. But luckier than the dead are the living is the person who has never been, who has never seen the bad business that takes place on this earth. Then I observed all the work and ambition motivated by envy. What a waste. Smoke and spitting into the wind. The fool sits back and takes it easy. His sloth is slow suicide. One hand, a peaceful repose. It's better than two fistfuls of worried work. More spitting into the wind. I turned my head and saw yet another wisp of smoke. And its way to nothingness, a solitary person completely alone, no children, no family, no friends, yet working obsessively late into the night, compulsively greedy for more and more, never bothering to ask, why am I working like a dog, never having any fun, and who cares? More smoke and bad business. It's better to have a partner than go at it alone, share the work, share the wealth, and if one falls down, the other helps. But if there's no one to help, tough. Two in a bed, warm each other, alone, you shiver all night. By yourself, you're unprotected. With a friend, you could face the worst. Can you round up a third? A three-strand rope isn't easily snapped. A poor child with some wisdom is better off than an old but foolish king who doesn't know which end is up. I saw a youth just like this, start with nothing and go from rags to riches. And I saw everyone rally to the rule of this young successor to the king. Even so, the excitement died quickly. The throngs of people soon lost interest. Can you see it's only smoke and spitting into the wind? Watch your step when you enter God's house. Enter to learn. That's far better than mindlessly offering a sacrifice, doing more harm than good. Don't shoot off your mouth or speak before you think. Don't be too quick to tell God what you think he wants to hear. God's in charge, not you. The less you speak, the better. Overwork makes for restless sleep. Overtalk shows you up as a fool. When you tell God you'll do something, do it now. God takes no pleasure in foolish drivel. Vow it, then do it. Far better not to vow it in the first place than to vow it and not pay up. Don't let your mouth make a total sinner of you. When called to account, you won't get by with, sorry, I didn't mean it. Why risk provoking God to angry retaliation? But against all illusion and fantasy and empty talk, there's always this rock foundation, fear God. Don't be too upset when you see the poor kicked around and justice and right violated all over the place. Exploitation filters down from one petty official to another. There's no end to it, and nothing can be done about it. But the good earth doesn't cheat anyone. Even a bad king is honestly served by a field. The one who loves money is never satisfied with money, nor the one who loves wealth with big profits. More smoke. The more loot you get, the more looters show up. And what fun is that? To be robbed in broad daylight? Hard and honest work earns a good night's sleep, whether supper is beans or steak. But a rich man's belly gives him insomnia. Here's a piece of bad luck I've seen happen. A man hoards far more wealth than is good for him and then loses it all in a bad business deal. He fathered a child but hasn't a cent left to give him. He arrived naked from the womb of his mother. He'll leave naked in the same condition with nothing. This is bad luck for sure. Naked he came in, naked he went out. So what was the point of working for a salary of smoke? All for a miserable life spent in the dark. After looking at the way things are on this earth, here's what I have decided the best way to live. Take care of yourself, have a good time, and make the most of whatever job you have for as long as God gives you life. And that's about it. That's the human lot. Yes, we should make the most of what God gives, both the bounty and the capacity to enjoy it, accepting what is given and delighting in the work. It's God's gift. God deals out of the joy in the present, the now. It's useless to brood over how long we might live. I looked long and hard at what goes on around here, and let me tell you, things are bad. And people feel it. There are people, for instance, on whom God showers everything, money, property, reputation, and all they ever wanted or dreamed of, and then God doesn't let them enjoy it. Some stranger comes along and has all the fun. It's more of what I'm calling smoke. It's bad business. Say a couple have scores of children and live a long, long life, but never enjoy themselves, even though they end up with a big funeral. I'd say that a stillborn baby gets the better deal. He gets a start in a mist and ends up in the dark, unnamed. He sees nothing and knows nothing, but is better off by far than anyone living. Even if someone lived 1,000 years, make it 2,000, but didn't enjoy it, what's the point? Doesn't everyone end up in the same place? We work to feed our appetites, meanwhile our souls go hungry. So what advantage has a sage over a fool or some poor wretch who barely gets by? Just grab whatever you can while you can. Don't assume something better might turn up by and by. All it amounts to it's just smoke. And it's spitting into the wind. Whatever happens, happens. Its destiny is fixed. You can't argue with fate. The more words that are spoken, the more smoke there is in the air. And who is better off? And who knows what's best for us as we live out our meager smoke and shadow lives? And whoever can tell any of us the next chapter of our lives? Let's pray. Father, as we see this despair and hopelessness, this empty chase of the quester, may we never forget that our hearts are made for you. Our only hope, the only answer is found in Christ and in Christ alone. Lord God, all the questions the quester is asking ends with you. And we thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. grab a seat. A good reputation is better than a fat bank account. Your death date tells more than your birth date. You learn more at a funeral than at a feast. After all, that's where we'll all end up. We might discover something from it. Crying is better than laughing. It blotches the face, but it scours the heart. Sages invest themselves in hurt and grieving. Fools waste their lives in fun and games. You'll get more from the rebuke of a sage than from the song and dance of fools. The giggles of fools are like the crackling of twigs under the cooking pot and like smoke. Brutality stupefies even when the wise and destroys the strongest heart. Endings are far better than beginnings. Sticking to it's better than standing out. Don't be quick to fly off the handle. Anger boomerangs. You can spot a fool by the lumps on his head. Don't always be asking, where are the good old days? Wise folks don't ask questions like that. Wisdom is better when it's paired with money, especially if you get both while you're still living. Double protection, wisdom and wealth. Plus this bonus, wisdom energizes its owner. Take a good look at God's work. Who could simplify and reduce creation's curves and angles to a plain straight line? On a good day, enjoy yourself. On a bad day, examine your conscience. God arranges both for both kind of days so that we won't take anything for granted. I've seen it all in my brief and pointless life. Here, a good person cut down in the middle of doing good. There, a bad person living a long life of sheer evil. So don't knock yourself out being good, and don't go overboard being wise. Believe me, you won't get anything out of it. But don't press your luck by being bad either. And don't be reckless. Why die needlessly? It's best to stay in touch with both sides of an issue. A person who fears God deals responsibly with all of reality, not just a piece of it. Wisdom puts more strength in one wise person than 10 strong men give to a city. There's not one totally good person on earth, no one who is truly pure and sinless. Don't eavesdrop on the conversation of others. What if the gossip's about you? You'd rather not hear it. You've done that a few times, haven't you? Said things behind someone's back you wouldn't say to his face. I've tested everything in my search for wisdom. I set out to be wise, but it was beyond me, far beyond me, and deep, oh so deep. Does anyone ever find it? I concentrated with all my might, studying and exploring and seeking wisdom, the meaning of life. I also wanted to identify evil and stupidity. Foolishness and craziness. One discovery, a woman can be a bitter pill to swallow. Full of seductive scheming and grasping, the lucky escape her, the undiscerning get caught. At least this is my experience. What I, the quester, have pieced together as I have tried to make sense of life. But the wisdom I've looked for, I haven't found. I didn't find one man or woman in 1,000 worth my while, yet I did spot one ray of light in this murk. God made men and women true and upright. We're the ones who made the mess of things. There's nothing better than being wise, knowing how to interpret the meaning of life. Wisdom puts light in the eyes and gives gentleness to words and manners. Do you know that your king commands you? You gave a sacred oath of obedience. Don't do what your king commands you. You gave a sacred oath of obedience. Don't worryingly second guess your orders or try to back out when the task is unpleasant. You're serving his pleasure, not yours. The king has the last word. Who dares say to him, "What are you doing?" Carrying out the orders won't hurt you a bit. The wise person obeys promptly and accurately. Yes, There's a right time and way for everything, even though, unfortunately, we miss it for the most part. It's true that no one knows what's going to happen or when. Who's around to tell us? No one can control the wind or lock it in a box. No one can say any so-and-so regarding the day of death. No one can stop a battle in its tracks. No one who does evil can be saved by evil. All this I observed as I tried my best to understand all that's going on in this world. As long as men and women have the power to hurt each other, this is the way it is. One time I saw a wicked man given a solemn burial in holy ground. When the people returned to the city, they delivered flowery eulogies. And in the very place where wicked acts were done by those very men, more smoke. Indeed. Because the sentence against evil deeds is so long in coming, people in general think they can get by with murder. Even though a person sins and gets by with it 100 times and throughout a long life, I'm still convinced that the good life is reserved for the person who fears God, who lives reverently in his presence, and that the evil person will not experience a good life no matter how many days he lives. They'll all be as flat and colorless as a shadow because he doesn't fear God. Here's something that happens all the time. It makes no sense at all. Good people get what's coming to the wicked, and bad people get what's coming to the good. I tell you, this makes no sense. It's smoke. So I'm all for just going ahead and having a good time, the best possible. The only earthly good and good men and women can look forward to is to eat and drink well and have a good time. Compensation for the struggle for survival these few years God gives us on earth. When I determined to load up on wisdom and examine everything taking place on earth, I realized that if you keep your eyes open day and night without even blinking, you'll still never figure out the meaning of what God is doing on this earth. Search as hard as you like. You're not going to make sense of it. No matter how smart you are, you won't get to the bottom of it.
seated. We're going to take communion together. So we've been seeing in Ecclesiastes that apart from Christ, this life is smoke. And Jesus came to pay the price for our sin, to bear the burden of our sin, to free us from that, to give us life. So apart from him, we are still under the weight of our sin. So I think it's good for us to just take a moment and imagine that weight. To just be aware of his sacrifice, of what it's done for us, to think about what life would be like apart from him. Or maybe there's something you need to bring to him and say, Lord, I realize this is sin. I realize it's something I need to turn away from, because that's part of our journey as people who follow Jesus, is what was okay yesterday may not be okay today. Or maybe you don't know Jesus, and just take this moment to hear what he has to say to you. So we just take a moment to do that now. God, we thank you that you didn't withhold anything, but you gave us your grace, you gave us your mercy in Christ. And we thank you that his sacrifice was enough, that it paid the price for our sin and has given us freedom and given us life. So as we take communion, as we have this meal, would you use it to remind us, to draw us back to you? Amen. If you peel back the very top of this, you can open the bread. And on the night he was betrayed, Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you." Peel back the rest, you can open the juice. And in the same way, after supper, Jesus took the cup and said, "This cup is the new covenant that's confirmed in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it to remember me." You stand. Let's thank him together that our sins are many, but his mercy is more.
Have a seat. Well, I took all this in and thought it through, inside and out. Here's what I understood. The good, the wise, and all that they do are in God's hands. But day by day, whether it's love or hate they're dealing with, they don't know. Anything's possible. It's one fate for everybody, righteous and wicked, good people and bad people, the nice and the nasty, worshipers and non-worshipers, committed and uncommitted. I find this outrageous. The worst thing about living on this earth, that everyone's lumped together in one fate. Is it any wonder that so many people are obsessed with evil? Is it any wonder that people go crazy right and left? Life leads to death. That's it. Still, anyone selected out for life has hope. For as they say, a living dog is better than a dead lion. The living at least know something, even if it's only that they're going to die, but the dead know nothing and get nothing. They're a minus that no one remembers. Their loves, their hates, yes, even their dreams are long gone. There's not a trace of them left in the affairs of this earth. Seize life. Eat bread with gusto. Drink wine with a robust heart. Oh, yes, God takes pleasure in your pleasure. Dress festively every morning. Don't skimp on colors and scarves. Relish life with the spouse you love each and every day of your precarious life. Each day is God's gift. It's all you get in exchange for the hard work of staying alive. Make the most of each one. Whatever turns up, grab it and do it, and heartily. This is your last and only chance at it, for there's nothing. There's neither work to do nor thoughts to think in the company of the dead where you're most certainly headed. I took another walk around the neighborhood and realized that on this earth as it is, the race is not always to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, nor satisfaction to the wise, nor riches to the smart, nor grace to the learned. Sooner or later, bad luck hits us all. No one can predict misfortune like a fish caught in a cruel net, birds in a trap, and men and women are caught by accidents, evil and sudden. One day, as I observed how wisdom fares on this earth, I saw something that made me sit up and take notice. There was a small town with only a few people in it. A strong king came and mounted an attack, building trenches and attack posts around it. There was a poor but wise man in the town whose wisdom saved the town, but he was promptly forgotten. He was only a poor man after all. All the same, I still say that wisdom is better than muscle, even though the wise poor man was treated with contempt and soon forgotten. The quiet words of the wise are more effective than the ranting of a king of fools. Wisdom is better than warheads, but one hot head can ruin the good earth. Dead flies in perfume make it stink, and a little foolishness decomposes much wisdom. Wise thinking leads to right living. Stupid thinking leads to wrong living. Fools on the road have no sense of direction. The way they walk tells the story. There goes the fool again. If a ruler loses his temper against you, don't panic. A calm disposition quiets intemperate rage. Here's a piece of bad business I've seen on this earth, an error that can be blamed on whoever is in charge. Immaturity is given a place of prominence while maturity is made to take a back seat. I've seen unproven upstarts riding in style while experienced veterans are put out to pasture. Caution, the trap you might set might catch you. Warning, your accomplice in crime might double cross you. Safety first. Coring stones is dangerous. Be alert. Felling trees is hazardous. Remember, the duller the axe, the harder the work. Use your head. The more brains, the less muscle. If the snake bites before it's been charmed, what's the point in then sending for the charmer? The words of a wise person are gracious. The talk of a fool self-destructs. He starts out talking nonsense and ends up spouting insanity and evil. Fools talk way too much, chattering stuff they know nothing about. A decent day's work so fatigues fools that they cannot find their way back to town. Unlucky the land whose king is a young pup and whose princes party all night. Lucky the land whose king is mature, where the princes behave themselves and don't drink themselves silly. A shiftless man lives in a tumble-down shack. A lazy woman ends up with a leaky roof. Laughter and bread go together, and wine gives sparkle to life, but it's money that makes the world go round. Don't badmouth your leaders, not even under your breath. And don't abuse your betters, even in the privacy of your home. Loose talk has a way of getting picked up and spread around. Little birds drop the crumbs of your gossip far and wide. Be generous. Invest in acts of charity. Charity yields high returns. Don't hoard your goods. Spread them around. Be a blessing to others. This could be your last night. When the clouds are full of water, it rains. When the wind blows down a tree, it lies where it falls. Don't sit there watching the wind. Do your own work. Don't stare at the clouds. Get on with your life. Just as you'll never understand the mystery of life forming in a pregnant woman, so you'll never understand the mystery at work and all that God does. Go to work in the morning and stick to it until evening without watching the clock. You never know from moment to moment how your work will turn out in the end. Oh, how sweet the light of day, and how wonderful to live in the sunshine. Even if you live a long time, don't take a single day for granted. Take delight in each light-filled hour, remembering that there will also be many dark days. And that most of what comes your way is smoke. You who are young, make the most of your youth. Relish in your youthful vigor. Follow the impulse of your heart. If something looks good to you, pursue it. But know also that not just anything goes. You have to answer to God for every last bit of it. Live footloose and fancy free. You won't be young forever. Young youth lasts about as long as smoke.
day has passed us by. Before hearts forget all your goodness, satisfy us with your love. Satisfy us with your love.
Closing. The quester says, honor and enjoy your creator while you're still young, before the years take their toll and your vigor wanes, before your vision dims and the world blurs and the winter years keep you close to the fire. In old age, your body no longer serves you so well. Muscles slacken, grip weakens, joints stiffen. The shades are pulled down on the world. You can't come and go at will. Things grind to a halt. The hum of the household fades away. You are awakened by birdsong. Hikes to the mountains are a thing of the past. Even the stroll down the road has its terrors. Your hair turns apple blossom white, adorning a fragile and impotent matchstick body. Yes, you're well on your way to eternal rest. While your friends make plans for your funeral, life, lovely while it lasts, is soon over. Life as we know it, precious and beautiful, ends. The body is put back in the same ground it came from. The spirit returns to God who breathed it first. It's all smoke, nothing but smoke. The quester says that everything's smoke. Besides being wise himself, the quester also taught others knowledge. He weighed, examined, and arranged many proverbs. The quester did his best to find the right words and write the plain truth. The words of the wise prod us to live well. They're like nails hammered home, holding life together. They are given by God, the one shepherd. But regarding anything beyond this, dear friends, go easy. There's no end to the publishing of books, and constant study wears you out, so you're no good for anything else. The last and final word is this. The last and final word is this. Fear God. Do what he tells you. And that's it. Eventually, God will bring everything that we do into the open and judge it according to its hidden intent, whether it's good or evil. About 1,000 years after this, St. Augustine said these words. He said, our hearts are restless until they find their rest in him. I want you to know what I love about the quester is he leaves it open. And the whole counsel of God's worth points to one truth, and that truth is found in the person and work of Jesus Christ, who gives us our only hope, our only rest in him. And I hope you have it. And so what I would encourage you to do as we study this over these next few weeks and as we get ready for the book of James, that you would just begin examining your heart before the Lord and letting him point out anything that you're doing that is honestly smoke spitting into the wind. And may your life be found completely and wholly in him who gives you true and everlasting hope. Let me pray for us. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you so much for this. We are humbled by your power and your presence. Be glorified as you examine our hearts, Lord God, and help us find the hope found in you. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen.